Well, our numbers have been a little bit decimated, but we're still here, and so we're here for the Word. And so I want to throw out a couple more words that, in closing and comment. First of all, you know, 2 Timothy 2:5 tells us to study to show ourselves approved, that we can be workmen that rightly divide the word of truth. And so many times we see the problem is that people go into the Word, but yet they don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And they start making divisions and connections that are not scriptural. And we look at so many of the problems in the body of Christ, and that's what we see. And I just want to take a few minutes to put out some ideas. I want to go back to the book of Isaiah, as Randy did. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40. The book of Isaiah could be considered the outline for the Scriptures. Until somebody pointed this out to me, I'd never seen this. The Scriptures, the Bible has 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The first 39 of Isaiah are about law. The last 27 are about grace. Chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah says, verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for the Lord. So we have the overall outline for the Bible in the book of Isaiah. Now let's expand on that. Let's go a little further. Let's go back to chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah. We look at so many of these verses and don't really start putting together the picture that God has given for us. God seems to have given the prophet Isaiah a set of spiritual binoculars. And we look at Isaiah and he moves in and out. He focuses here, he focuses there. He can turn around and he can look back. He can look forward. He can look in any direction. And got many focuses in on different things. Familiar verses, chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. We're familiar with those verses. Let's read the corollary to that. Let's go to chapter 66 of Isaiah. Chapter 66 would correspond to the book of Revelation. Chapter 66, verse 15 says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire, and his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and his sword, the Lord will plead with all flesh. We look at the book of the Revelation, and that's exactly what we see. We see the entire book of Isaiah, and we come to the closing here, and it's the same thing. God is pleading with men. But the conversation has changed now. He will plead with all flesh, with fire and his sword. The same message that we see in Revelation. He's pleading with men. But boy, it's a different conversation. He's still reasoning, still bringing them into salvation. For by fire and his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Well, I think that's what we see in the book of Revelation. The slain of the Lord shall be many. Isaiah picks up his binoculars again and adjusts them. We look at the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation tells us all about the new heavens and a new earth. But Isaiah tells us about them. He gives us a picture of them. He stands back even further. We go to the last verses of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 22. For the new heavens and a new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. Apparently in the new heavens and the new earth, we're going back to a lunar calendar, new moons and Sabbath, new moons. You know, the nation Israel, that's what they had, is a lunar calendar. We look at the new heavens and the new earth, we're seeing the same thing. Isaiah's got his binoculars adjusted. He's way out in the future. The new moons and the new Sabbath. Not only that, they shall, verse 24, they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorring to all flesh. Apparently the lake of fire, in some sense, is visible from the new heavens and new earth. Something total beyond. Isaiah gives us a picture. It far transcends. It goes beyond Revelation. And we've looked at Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 1 through chapter 66, he's talking about God pleading with man. And that's what he's done since the beginning of time. In our journey this week, we've gone to the book of Revelation, then we've gone to Isaiah, we've gone to Daniel, we've also gone back to Exodus. Let's continue our journey and go back to Exodus and look at this pleading. Back to the book of Exodus. One of the brothers did a devotional about the two witnesses. And we're going to look at Moses a little bit here just to take a minute or two and look at some things in the book of Exodus. We look at the entering in of Moses into Egypt and the commission that God gave him to bring the nation Israel out of Egypt. And Moses, like us, he doesn't completely understand all of these things. And we see that. And we're the same way. We don't understand these things. And so he sends him before Pharaoh. We want to go to chapter 9 in Exodus. And again, we'll see more of God's purposes in these things, where he's pleading with men. Chapter 9 in the book of Exodus. Chapter 9, verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon all thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all of the earth. God's whole purpose, we look at these plagues, and our brother did a devotional, that you may know that there's none like me in all the earth. The same purpose in Revelation. God is reaching out to men to show them who God is. Verse 16 in the same chapter, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Things haven't changed a bit in Revelation, have they? God is doing the exact same thing. Let's look at another verse that illuminates these things. We see God bringing the plagues on Egypt, and as the brother mentioned, these are in direct relation to the gods of Egypt. But where do we find that in Scripture? Chapter 12 of Exodus, the final plague, chapter 12, verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. We see the same purposes in the book of Revelation. And God is doing this. Just what Isaiah shows us. Pleading with men to turn from these things. Let's continue in chapter 12. What's the result of these things? Pleading with men. Chapter 12, verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot beside children. Verse 38, and a mixed multitude went up also with them. We come to chapter 7 of Revelation. We're seeing the same pattern. We're seeing a God that's showing this world who he is. And who is he using? The nation Israel. It's the exact same thing we see here. It's the same God. He's doing the same thing. Chapter 7 of Revelation, we see a mixed multitude. The nation Israel and a mixed multitude coming with them, coming out of the tribulation period. Now, and I'll close with this. One of the views that I heard years ago, and the more I studied it, I have no problem with this view, is that there will be more people brought to redemption in that seven-year period, the tribulation period. There will be more people brought to redemption in that period than have been saved, brought to redemption since the beginning of time. Why? First of all, chapter 7 tells us it's a huge number. That's what Scripture tells us. Okay, it's a huge number that no man can number. Well, the basic logistics of the situation that we know of right now would point to that too. The earth's population is approximately, what, 7 billion, somewhere thereabouts? The media, the printed page, electronic media, all media. There will be more knowledge of the truth than has ever been on the face of this earth. We add to that the cataclysmic events of the tribulation. One of the brothers called it the crown jewel of grace, the crowning achievement of God, because he loves men, John 3:16, and he does not want them to perish. A couple of thoughts about the book of Revelation, something to think about. But God loves men. He wants to bring them back to him. And he's doing all of these events. He removes all the saved people, the children of God, from this earth. And then all of these things happen, all these terrible things. And we see a group in Revelation chapter 7 that no man could number, brought to redemption. Brother?
Amen.
And I don't know how many here went to seminary. My guess is most of them not. And it's amazing to me that you can get this kind of teaching. And the brother, I don't think you prepared before you came, can exhort that kind of stuff. And thank God I'm somewhere where the priesthood of the believers was forced upon me that I was to have to be responsible for the Word of God.
Amen.
And thank you for that excellent,
amen,
unprepared, so to speak. Really shows Larry what man can do without
him. Amen.